All right. God is great, greatly to be prayed. Turn to the book of Galatians. We're still in chapter 1. We're going to finish it today. This is the law. This is the law. This is a command. A command is something that you have to do or else. This is a promise. God himself is obliged. He's obligated to keep his promise. He cannot, will not bind you when he makes a promise. You are not bound by his promise. Even if you accept his promise, if you look at what it is, there's nothing you can do. He's promised to do everything that you can't do. And he's promised never to bind you, ever, ever, ever. So if you were to worship him, it wouldn't be a command. It would be thank you for doing everything. It wouldn't be thank you, now I'll do my part. There is no part for you. If God makes a promise, if we live by promises, if we live by God's promises, which he swears to keep, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If he says that, he can't lie or he would cease to be God. He would be a devil. And so God can't lie about any of his promises. So on the right hand of God, God, not your right hand, but his right hand, on God's right hand is the promises. And if you interpret God, if you understand God, if you truly get the correct picture of God, it's all promises. There are no commands. So why did he give the commands? So that he could keep his promises, he put all of the sins that we committed on Jesus. So Jesus was the promise to keep the command for you. And if you do believe it over here, because it's a promise, you don't believe laws, you believe promises. If you believe his promise, you will keep his laws. But you won't do it apart from him, you'll do it in him, or through him, or by him. So that's his promise, that I'm going to marry you. So it's not a promise about law-keeping or disobedience. It's a promise about God doing exactly what he swore and obliged himself to do by a Solomon oath. Now, when he makes a Solomon oath, Solomon, not Solomon, but solemn oath, that means if I lie on this oath, if I'm not always with you, if I ever forsake you, not if it appears, but if I actually ever forsake you, this is why you can trust me. I can't break my word, and I swear an oath to my hurt if I do. I swear an oath that if I ever break my word, if I don't keep my word to you, if I don't set you free, if I don't release you forever from the sting of the law, from guilt and shame, from weakness and so on and so forth, if I don't do everything I've said, then I must pay, not you. You do not have to make a sacrifice, an offering, an atonement. You don't have to do anything to heal the relationship. I do. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And everyone supposes, incorrectly, that God has a law for you to keep. No. He has a promise for himself to keep. He obliged himself. If he ever obliged you, he would not be God. A king can do no wrong. Kings can only punish those that do wrong in order to bless those that do right. So a king can do no wrong. Our government today does wrong all the time, a lot. But that doesn't mean we're to disobey. It just simply means they have no authority or power from God. They're not subject to God, therefore you are subject to them. And you can pray for them, bless them. You can bear them. You can not worry about being persecuted and hated and despised and used and abused. But you can be happy anyway because of God. Amen. Because you don't need government to keep its promises. Trust no man. Trust no man. You don't need pastors to keep their word either. Trust no man. But you can trust the one man, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. That one you can trust. And to prove it, he keeps God's promises. He keeps all God's promises toward you. All of your rights, all of your liberties, all of your immunities, all your privileges, all your prerogatives, all those things that God gave you in nature and then swore to give you, those are all sacred. He can't lie. He will not lie. He could lie to his hurt, but he can't, so he won't. So you can trust him. He's the only one you can trust. You don't ever trust me. Don't ever trust yourself. Don't ever trust any human being. And so politicians are consummate liars because they're always promising things, not in his name, just promising things in their own name, as though you could vote for me. You know, trust me. I'll always be there for you. No, they won't. So that's why church and state can't be combined, because they're liars, every one, without exception. So the only way you could be a true king would be if you were dead to yourself and alive to God, as in heaven, so on earth. In other words, the only way you could have heaven on earth is to have a king who was dead to this world, to his own ambition, to his own unjust enrichment, to his own advantage, profit, to his own interests, titles, and so on. You give those up when you enter office. And so even though today you don't see that, at least not very much, and you can see all of the candidates are flawed, some more than others, on any side. And so that's something you should have figured out in the beginning. You know how you change government? You don't do it by trusting people. You don't do it by trying to find some angel to rule. You do it by seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Let judgment begin in the household of God. So, Galatians, what have we learned? Well, so far I told you there's such a thing as passive righteousness, where we live by the promises. So if you live by promises, where Jesus obligates himself and sets you free, he obliges himself and sets you free. So a political figure is not going to do that. They're going to obligate you and set themselves free. You're under Obamacare, and the Congress is not, but you are. That is a evil. That's no law at all. I'm just telling you, it's no law. I can speak against it because it's no law. And we're not bound to it. No God in heaven would cause me to be bound to something that was for my detriment, to bind me. So when a man does that, he's a tyrant, not a king, not a ruler, not a representative. He's not of the people, for the people, and by the people. And so therefore, we're in deep trouble now as a nation, because there aren't enough representatives who represent you. They represent their own title, their own interest, their own rights. And so that's a problem. In other words, they're doing deals all the time and making compromises all the time, and they've forgotten higher law jurisprudence, which says that all the principles of our government were built for the liberty of the citizen and the binding of those who serve. Just as God, the king, can do no wrong. So when the king does wrong, he's not a king. He ceases. He extinguished himself. He's gone. He's no longer holding the office of a king because he didn't keep his trust. The public trust demands that you're the beneficiary and the whole body of the people is the sovereign. Therefore, the trustee has failed his trust and the sovereign has fallen asleep. So we must wake up the sovereign people. We are the people. I don't know if you know it. It's your fault. It's your fault. You're the sovereign. In Texas, for sure. In Texas, for sure. So, therefore, if other states have gone the way of positive, legal positivism, positive law, that means they just go by the latest case, municipal, state, federal. And the last three or four cases, whatever, to justify what they say and do, you have no justice. Higher law justice says there's a higher law, that Supreme Courts are greater than inferior courts, that fundamental law is greater than the general powers of government enacted by legislative statutes and laws. So that's all. There is no such thing as a statute that can overthrow the Constitution because it's the people's Constitution, the sovereign, the supreme political sovereign who establishes that your rights will be protected, that you will be free to follow God, to be self-governing. That's the way our system of government was built, for the liberty of the citizen, not the subject. But today you are subjects to the king, again, who is a tyrant, not a king at all, not a government at all. God did not establish such a government. Now, the fact that there are bad laws and bad keepers of laws is not a problem for us because the problem lies with you. It lies with us. It lies with you to praise God, confess your own sin, bless your neighbor, give glory to God, pray for your neighbor, love your neighbor, even your enemies. You don't have a problem with government. You have a problem with yourself. You have a problem that you didn't worship God with all your heart, soul, and strength, so you're not going to have peace on earth, goodwill to men. It's completely up to the church, up to you, everyone in this room. It's up to you. You want a just government? It's easy. Just do what God said. Just do what God said. Submit yourselves unto the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself with all your heart and soul and strength. Pastor, I can't do that. you're not under a law, left hand over there. You're under the gospel, right hand over here. You're under a promise. Jesus Christ has made you a promise. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. That means you can't fail. You are guaranteed by him obliging himself, obligating himself. Now, I want to shift because I'm about to read Galatians. Paul is going to say something here. I'm an apostle, he said. I have an office under Jesus, not under the state. I have an office under God, and it's the foundation of the state. If you don't have what Paul's talking about, you'll never have just government. Never. Not even a possibility. This government wasn't built for wicked men. It was built for men who wanted to obey the Lord and have good government on earth. But once you lose the goodness of the individual, then you've lost the government. You can't have one. I don't care who you elect. It won't work. And so I myself have served, and I don't ever want anything. I've never taken anything. I only give, because a true leader is a servant. A true son always serves his father. And so you can tell who the true sons are because they serve their father. The son keeps the Father's sheep as though they were his own. And so that is how Jesus became the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He has kept us, and he will always keep us, and I don't know why then anyone would ever complain about anything. Since God hasn't failed to keep his promises, he obliged himself, he bound himself, he is limited forever to love you and bless you and be good for you. He wants your good. He wants your interest. So he does not have a law that binds you. He has a law that binds himself, the law of life in Christ Jesus, which has set me free from the law of sin and death. So here's the problem today in the world. You're still looking for a pastor who's good. You're still looking for a president or a mayor or a governor or some representative or congressman or whatever. You're a fool. You're foolish. You're foolish to believe that you'll ever find peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But if you'll seek first the kingdom, if you'll confess your own sins, if you'll praise God, if you'll bless your enemies, you'll be fine. So that's all God's looking for, and he's coming back for a bride like that, without spot, without wrinkle. So he's not after the wicked businessman, the corrupt businessman, the self-interested businessman. He's not after him. Sorry. That's a fruit of you either succeeding or failing to trust God. Put your trust not in man, but put your trust in the Lord. He made a promise to you, and the one that made the promise is trustworthy. When he swears an oath with his right hand raised and says, I swear I'll never leave you or forsake you, you can bank on it. You can count on that, that even though you've done wrong, God will not bind you, but he will set you free. So he's told you the protocol. All you have to do is come and say, God, I messed up again. I looked to another God. I was trusting in somebody. I got hurt because I didn't trust you. I didn't really read your word faithfully. I didn't even know what you said. I didn't pay attention to anything you wrote down. I just did my own thing. Okay, then it's very clear. He's not angry at you. He's not mad at you. He's just telling you, okay, well, you know, you just confessed. You know what you've done wrong is you didn't worship me with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Now, I'm going to relate it to myself for a second, that what Galatians is telling us is that since all righteousness is passive, it's based on the right hand of God, not the left hand of God. Over there, you must behave. Over here, God must behave. He's obliged himself, but you can't force him. Let's say he doesn't behave. There's nothing you can do about it. You can't make God behave. You're not strong enough, smart enough. You're not good enough to make him behave. So you don't have to trust him. Nobody has to trust him. But if you do trust him with all your heart, soul, strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself, then you have worshipped him and served him in such a way that he accomplishes all his purposes, and he swore that all his purposes will be accomplished by someone. And in fact, it's so big, the number is so big that you can't count them. So it's going to be in the billions for sure. The billions will be on their way to heaven. It doesn't matter what you've done personally, that's your choice. You are free in God. He has bound himself. He has limited you to this. Rejoice. Give thanks. Give praise to God. But it's not a command. It's a description of who you are in Christ, who Christ is in you. Because he's the doer. He's the one that does what he requires. So therefore, what he required in the law, Jesus did. Now, all you do is enjoy the blessing of his promises. All you do is enjoy. Now, I relate it to myself because years ago, though a worthless, faithless person, totally self-interested and so on, God picked me out. He chose me and turned me around. And I didn't do it. I didn't even want to do it. I wasn't even open to it. I wasn't in any way interested in not sinning. I loved sinning. I loved it. I loved it. I loved lying, cheating, and stealing, and so on and so forth. And nothing was beneath me. I could have done anything. But God got a hold of me because he took pity on people around me, like Peggy and my mother and so on and so forth. And they didn't even know half of what I did or thought or intended. They weren't aware how devious I was, how cold and calculating I was to everybody. I had no real friends. They would be idiots to be my friend because I would take advantage of them. I do not look evil. I do not look evil. I look like a very nice person that you could trust. I have a trusting smile and face and so on, but I am completely not what I appeareth to be. But Jesus came and changed me from the inside out. And it took a while. It wasn't easy because I was habitual. I never, ever, for a second, loved anybody, cared for anybody, had any good thoughts toward anybody at all. I had no allegiance to anybody on earth at all. And so if you can imagine someone who has no goodness in them at all, none, zero, that was me. Mm-hmm. And someone who murdered probably could justify what they did. I never did. Whatever I did, I never had to justify it. I just wanted to do it. I did what I wanted, and I didn't care about the consequence. I didn't care. Other than, I don't want to get caught because I like keep doing what I'm doing. But I could do it in prison, or I could do it, you know, flat on my back or whatever else. I had all my faith in myself. I had no God because I was God. I wasn't as bad as Willis, but I was close. I was very close. Now, but God picks sinners. I don't know why he doesn't pick saints, but he doesn't. He only picks rotten, no good people. And I praise God. Now I am a Christian. How did I get there? I believed his promise. I didn't try to believe him. Faith comes by hearing. I heard the promises and they sounded, you know, like they were meant for me. Because it was like I came for sinners. It sounded like me. It sounded like me. Raul, that sounded like you. He came for sinners. So his whole purpose, Hugo, was to find a sinner, if he could find one, on the earth. I was one. And I never had anything good, ever. I faked it on the outside, but I knew I was lying. And I liked lying. I enjoyed lying. I can still lie to this day. I'm very good at exaggerating, lying, and so on and so forth, deceiving and tricking. But because of his promise to not only forgive me, but then actually to change me, and then actually to perfect me, that has amazed me that I now want to be like him, want to be just like him. And I am. I think a good person might be tempted. I'm not even tempted. I already know that you can do all the things you want to do and get away with murder. I already know that. I don't want to do that anymore. Why? Because of God. Why? I just have faith in his promises. And since he offered me a lot more than I was wanting, he offered me not only peace on earth, goodwill to men, he offered me heaven too. It's like, oh my gosh, why would he want to be with me? Has anybody here ever thought of that? Why would God want to be the husband to me? I mean, the law, it was never my husband. I never got married to the law. So I didn't break the law because I never got married to it in the first place. Just always married to my own lust, my own appetites, my own pleasure, my own will. And I did it happily. I was not a depressed, unhappy, wicked person. I was very happy. I liked being wicked. I enjoyed it. I even practiced in front of the mirror how to act and appear innocent while I was guilty as all get out. I cheated on everything. There wasn't anything I did honestly. Now, I did know how to spell my name and stuff like that. But other than that, I always went the easy way. I always went the way of the flesh. Is anybody else here? Used to be. Like me. You just want to do your own thing. You don't want to obey. You don't want to do what you're told. You don't want to, you know, if there's a long line, I don't want to wait in the long line. If there's cars all piled up, I want to drive around them. Go off on the side road, whatever. I just don't like people telling me what to do. Is there anybody else like me? I don't know why. I just have something in me. It's called sin. I just have something in me that said, Jim, I don't trust anybody. And I saw that's in the Bible. Don't trust anybody. I was already ahead of the game. I already don't trust anybody. I trust them to be idiots and fools and easily deceived. You'd be surprised how people would much rather be slaves than free. Because when you're free, you're actually responsible. You're responsible. You're not free to sin. You're free to not sin. You're free to love. And since I am free to do what is good, what is right, what is true, what is just, all positive things, all things that are done in heaven, since I'm free to do it, I want to do it. Why do I want to do it? I don't know. It just came, and I just want to. I don't want to do bad toward Peggy. But when I first got married, I did. I just wanted to abuse her and use her. Do you all see what I just said? So, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not worried about it because Jesus forgave me. But I know what it is to be rotten to the core. I know what it is to be totally selfish. Some of you are liketh unto me, and you don't realize that there's no happiness in it. That's how you find out there's no happiness, because you do it. And you get your way. You don't get caught. You get your way. You get away with murder. And I went all the way to Yale and top student and everything. I mean, that's amazing. All through my bad motives and so on and so forth. There are lots of people out there in the world like me. Lots. Lots. But some of them are Christians. That is, they go to church. But they're actually egocentric, lustful, greedy, and only looking out for themselves. And I meet ministers like that all the time. I actually don't trust that there are many ministers not like that. Because if you were actually a true minister, it would only be because you were once the chief of sinners. I don't think God would ever pick anybody to be a minister who wasn't a chief of sinners. Because how could you know what your people are like if you didn't know how deep and how devious and how deceitful and how treacherous you can be from the heart? So I could do what I look like on the outside easy, because but I always knew what my motives were. I never had a decent, kind motive, ever, not even for a moment, never. Now, that makes me that the first thought in my mind is never, thank you, Jesus. My first thought is, I'm going to get that person. My first thought is, you know, how can I hurt that person? And so that's my first thought. I'm sorry. And, you know, if Peggy has two pieces of cake, I'm going to go for the big one or whatever it is I want. You know, in everything I do, my first thought is not, I need to give Peggy the best. I know what I teach, but that's not my first thought. So every day I have to spend a lot of time in prayer, probably as much as Hugo does. He doesn't even to get here. Because your first thought is not, oh, hallelujah, it's Sunday, I get to go to church. It's not your first thought. But I noticed, Raul, you were here earlier today than normally, so that is amazing. That is a miracle. That's a miracle. Now, what's amazing, and the only reason I talk about it, I don't want to talk about myself at all. The only reason I talk about it is because, isn't it amazing that we could have a God who would not be a law-giving God that we would be then punished by, but we have a God who's a promise giver, and he wants to bless you even though you were a sinner. And still, as a Christian, you still sin. Isn't that amazing that we could have a God that discounts that and says, no, I had Jesus die for you, on your behalf, in my name for you. That's amazing to me. So, you know what? I don't worry then. I never did before either. I never worried as a pagan. I only worried about getting caught. But I never worried. I had a lot of tricks of how you cover your trail. So that what I did was not, it would be blamed on somebody else, or at least it wouldn't lead to my house, to my person. But as a Christian, I don't have to worry about anything. And all I do is make simple, 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 simple prayers daily. God, I should be, you know, not blessed. You should not listen to me, but I know you love me, and I'm taking you at your word, and therefore I want you to deliver me from the snare of the fowler. I want you to deliver me, and I want you to give me wisdom as to how you would have me do it, because mine doesn't work. And then power and favor so that I am able to actually succeed rather than fail, so that you'll say someday, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want. I want that written on my tombstone. Not literally, I don't care what's written on there, but you can write anything. But what I want is the reality of good and faithful servant. Why? Because I don't have to cheat in politics. I don't have to cheat in business. I don't have to cheat in the religious realm. I don't have to cheat in society. But I used to all the time. But I did it because I wanted to. I wanted to. Now I don't want to. Isn't that amazing how God can change your want, your will? He can change you so that you actually are not tempted anymore in those old areas. I mean, the temptation could come for a second, but you can easily overthrow it by the word, by these promises. So I live totally by the promises of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So living by promises is better than obeying commands. Living by promises is better than obeying commands. So who's obligated to behave themselves? God or you? God. So what is Galatians all about? Passive righteousness. The reason I'm righteous is because Jesus Christ is my righteousness. He wasn't righteous for himself. He was righteous for you. Of course, it's his nature. But I didn't have that nature. But why would he want to seek me out and pursue me to give me his nature? I didn't deserve it. And I knew I wouldn't do well with it. I knew, God, if you ever put me on your team, I will ruin it. I will ruin anything I touch. I will poop on every white tablecloth you set out. I'm just gifted at it. I'm just a natural at it. I can mess up anything. Does anybody else have that gift? And, you know, something that's nice, and I'll get involved in it, and it won't be nice anymore. Right? No. So that's how crime rules the world. But Jesus Christ put us, you and I, into this world to be salt, the salt of the earth, and light, the light of the inhabited world. When it says world, it doesn't mean earth. The world is part of the earth. The earth is the ground, the soil, the dirt, the trees, the mountains, the rivers, the oceans. But the world is the inhabited part, civilization, where men dwell, wherever they dwell. Even a single man in a cave somewhere off in the boondocks, that's still part of the world. So world is wherever people dwell, wherever they live, wherever they inhabit, wherever they operate. So we are the salt of the earth, and salt does things to the earth. And then we are the light of the world. And so God wants us to fill the earth with the glory of God and to change the world from darkness to light. Now, I want to begin in the first chapter of Galatians, so if you turn there. Everybody always bring your sword. I know you don't want to. Doesn't matter. Do it anyway. Just do it. I will certify, verse 11, I will certify you, brethren, that the good news, the gospel, the right hand over here, which was preached of me, is not after man. And that's me too. I'm exactly like that. I can say this, that the good news that I preach is not anything I did. It didn't come from the seminary, or didn't come from people helping me out or something. It came from God, supernaturally. I did not get saved by people. People did not save me. I did not go to church and then learn the gospel and then want to do it. It didn't happen that way. I was so stubborn and so wicked and so selfish and self-oriented and hateful of anyone who got in my way, that God had to supernaturally arrest me, knock me off my high horse, take away my pride and my arrogance and my ruthlessness and so on, my deception, so on and so forth. And then he had to make a promise to me, because I don't even follow laws. If he'd have made a law to me, I'd go, I'm not interested. I don't care about that. I don't want to do your law. I don't care who you are and what you're going to do. Do it. I don't care. You don't scare me. I'm not interested in your heaven, and I'm not afraid of your hell. I'll get that later. But God arrested me and changed me in the midst of all of that darkness, and said, I want to marry you. Jim, will you marry me? No way. Jim, will you marry me? Yes. Wow. How did that happen? Well, that took a few years. That took a few years. There was the offer, but I didn't take it. The window of opportunity was open, but I didn't take his promise. But then one day, I realized, how are you doing? Working on your own, working against God, man, and everything. How's that working out? It's not working so good. It's not working so good. Has anybody learned that the hard way? I mean, that's the hard way. The hard way is to try to do it without God, and then see whether he's God or you are. And you learn quickly, wow, life is overwhelming. Life is overwhelming. Yeah. Life is bigger than all your smarts, than all your goodness, than all your, brilliance and so on. It's too big. And in the world, you have trouble. In the world, you have trouble. Even if you try to avoid it and get on top and, live in Dallas. I mean, if you live in Dallas, it's like heaven on earth. Imagine if you lived in Fort Worth or something. No. It has nothing to do with your dreams and the gardens you're trying to build. There is no such thing. Happiness comes from knowing Jesus. Happy is the man who trusts in the Lord. That's all. That's all. It's just totally a promise thing. It has nothing to do with his law. I don't believe in religion. I am not religious. I've never been religious or moral. I never have, and I never will be. I don't have any of that in me. I'm just strictly faith. Faith in his promise. And somehow that love of God got to me. And I've been happy ever since. I'm truly, Peggy can tell you, I'm happy all the time. I am. I'm not afraid of my sins or yours or whatever. I don't care that God seems to come through or doesn't seem. I just trust him. If a bad thing happens, hallelujah, praise God. Good thing happens, hallelujah, praise God. It doesn't make any difference to me. It's a non-event. Yeah. And so Peggy can abuse me. You know how wicked she can be. And she can do whatever she wants. I don't have any rules. I have no laws for her. I only have promises. Peg, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Why? I got that out of the Bible. I got that. That was the way God said it. I say it too. But I mean it. I'm not just joking it. It's 100% to the death. I don't have a life apart from blessing Peggy. I don't have a life. I'm not interested in the church first. I'm interested in Peggy first. I don't want to have a life that's given to Jim, Jacob. I want to be like Israel, where God does it all, gives him a new name. And that happened to me. And he called me out supernaturally. I remember the day, the hour, the minute, everything. I can remember it. And then he's made revelations continuously. And I know it changed my life forever. And I never again can be a hater. For a second I can, but I can't stay there. So if you see me behave, if you ever see me misbehaving, well, that was me. But it isn't going to last. because I'm going to go and start praying and realize I really can't talk to Jesus right now because I'm mad or I'm angry or I've just done something bad. But I go to Jesus anyway because he's my only friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. He's my friend. That's Jesus. He likes me. He likes me. I can't believe it, Raul. Why would anyone like me? You know? I mean, it's amazing. I mean, Peggy was certainly masochistic when she married me. She was not looking out for her own good, you know. She was entering into an abusive situation because I had no mercy. Zero. None. She could cry and it wouldn't bother me. She could criticize, it wouldn't bother me. So, I mean, it was abusive to do that. And we had been dating, courting, whatever. We didn't do anything wrong for 5 years. So we knew each other very well. And in her, I never got inside of her, so I didn't care or know. But in her, it was hard for her to criticize me because she might go to hell if she did. But she knew I was bad, but she wouldn't. But I was the opposite. Why'd you do that? What's that for? So I wouldn't have married me. But Peggy was masochistic. She wanted to punish herself for all the sins she'd secretly done, apparently. And then that would help her out. And I loved it because she always had to pretend like she really cared for me when I knew she didn't. I mean, she doesn't care for me. I know what it is to care for me constantly. I'm into that. Yeah, just bless me. All, yeah, everybody bless me. It's okay. But, you know, Peggy would always make excuses for me because she made them for herself. So that was, it was great. I married well. That was the right way to marry, way over my head. It was great. It was awesome. I loved it. I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men. For neither did I receive it of man, nor was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's how I got it. When I got it, it was strictly 100% God and Jim, just alone. It was almost midnight. I remember exactly where I was, what I was doing. I was disobedient. And that's when he met me, and I gave my whole heart and life, soul, everything to him from that moment on. My behavior, I didn't care about. I didn't care about how I behaved and so on, because he didn't. He didn't care. He only cared that he kept his behavior. He was always behaving toward me. He was the one that I was concerned about. Is there really such a thing as a God? Because you haven't done very well if you are. You hadn't done real well with me, but I don't think you've done well with anybody. You have hypocrites and then nasty people. And I was one of the nasty people, but they had hypocrites too. And they're going to go to hell, and they're going to go to hell, so everybody's going to go to hell. So why in heaven's sake would you want to seek me out? But he did. And I know it was him because I wasn't interested in it. I didn't want it. I liked doing exactly what I was doing. I was very gifted at it. Is anybody here a gifted liar? A gifted selfish person? A gifted, you know, critic of others? I mean, it was easy for me to point people's sins out. I could just see it because other people don't cover their sins like I did. I always covered my sins. But most people that are sinful are just sloppy about it. They're slovenly. They don't work that hard at covering up. I was a great cover-upper. Hugo, are you like that? A little bit. Yeah. So our God is so great that he would pursue us. Everybody here, God has pursued. Everybody. Everything he's ever done was for you. Nothing was for him. Nothing was for him. Everything he did, he did not want you to obey one command. He wanted Jesus to obey all his commands for him. Jesus said, I always do what's pleasing to my Father. Well, that's Jesus. I never did what was pleasing. I never did what was pleasing. I didn't care how many fathers, I didn't even know how many fathers I had because I didn't know anything about my mother either. I grew up in a German home where a child was to be seen but not heard. So you were not allowed to make noise or wiggle or talk. You couldn't talk to an adult. The only thing you could say maybe is, can I go to the bathroom right now? Or you could say that. But other than that, you were not allowed to say anything like, when are we eating? Yeah, I never would have said any of those words. Because my third father, Adolf Hitler, he would have beaten the tar out of me. It really. And so I feared him. I couldn't use him, but I would just simply go out of the house as soon as he came home, and I didn't want to be around him because he'd find something wrong, and then he would have to beat me because he was Adolf Hitler. You have to beat people that are no good. And he would find something, and he had this system of checking on you. So I was not good at keeping laws or rules or, you know, behaving. I wasn't. I just wasn't. But I didn't like being beaten with it. I don't know if they do it in Texas, but up where I was from, it took out his belt and beat you. And if you wiggled or moved or said anything, you got another one. So that was... I hated him. I despised him. I hated him. Told my sister, I hate him. I'm not going to call him, because he was third in line anyway, not going to call him dad ever. But guess what happened? Before I even graduated, I went and, you know, got right with my dad. And later I witnessed to him and he accepted Jesus. And that was powerful, that God could take rotten, no good situations and turn them around. Amen. All I'm trying to say is, when you actually find Jesus, you find happiness. Not only for heaven, you find it on earth. I'm totally happy with my marriage. I'm totally happy with my churches. I'm totally happy with mafia. I'm totally happy with Obama. I'm totally happy. Why? Because I got Jesus. Happy is the man that has nothing going for him except Jesus. That's me. I'm totally like that. Supernatural. Was not natural. I didn't come in because of church. For you have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion. In other words, how I behaved. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and I ravaged it. I destroyed it. I'd grab people out of their homes and have them killed. I took them to the magistrate. And they went before the Sanhedrin, were condemned, and then they were destroyed. Ah, he was the best religious person. He was Al-Qaeda writ large. He wanted them all dead. He wanted anyone that wasn't doing the right way that he believed in, have their heads chopped off, have their lives snatched away. And he loved doing it. He enjoyed doing it. He said, I ravaged them. And I was the top of my class. I was the best Jew ever. Well, that's the way the Muslims feel today. Christians have done the same. If they wanted to have all of Europe be Christian, they just went and said, okay, we give you a choice here. You either accept Jesus and get baptized in his name, or I kill you. I take your choice. And so within a few minutes, there's blood all over the ground, and the others go, hey, I want to be a Christian. I was thinking a lot about that as they're watching their friends get killed. And that's the way they do it. How wicked is man? Extreme. How wicked was I? Extreme. But you didn't know it because I covered it up. I knew how to do it. I knew how to do it. I thought about that. I'll tell you what, it doesn't take a lot of brains. It just takes boldness to defy God and man. I never wanted to be moral, and I never was. I behaved as though I was. As soon as you weren't looking, though, I changed. And I profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation. In other words, I was top. Being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So Paul is bragging here about how zealous he was to chop people's heads off. And to have them killed and imprisoned and all their stuff taken from them and their children slain before their eyes and so on. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. In other words, God always knew before the foundation of the world that he would come and snatch me out of darkness. it isn't just that I helped out. Or I didn't help. I never helped. I never cooperated. He had to do it supernaturally and break me, bust me. It's pure power. He just had to destroy me to say, Jim, you're what I'm looking for. I want to marry you. It's like, not really. No way. I don't have any serious bone in my body. I'm always just nothing. I mean, I don't believe in anybody or anything or whatever. I'm just surviving daily. Now, I hope nobody here is like me. I hope you are a lot nicer than that, but you'll also go to hell because of it. Whereas I got to go to heaven because I was so nasty, I had no hope. There was no hope for a person like me. And as I say, I don't look like a bad person. And people didn't catch me because I always had ways of looking like I was innocent. You know, so I didn't do it. And I don't know why. I thought that out. I thought that out. I just sat down and figured it out. How can I do this and then nobody ever find out? Now, you can't be a crowd person. I was not a crowd person. I could get along in a crowd, but only for so long. I get tired of it. But I was a total loner. Even my best friends had no idea. Even Peggy never knew me all during the marriage. And my parents never knew what I was up to. So I deceived them all deliberately and consciously, and it worked. It's amazing how you can be married to someone and fool them. Anyone want to say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, you can be in a marriage where it's not working at all. But sometimes you can't tell. And like after 25 years, the person leaves. Well, what? What? What did I do? That happens in Dallas a lot. And in Fort Worth a little bit. And so, you know, suddenly after a wonderful marriage, one person, that's a wonderful, it's, everything's fine. And then all of a sudden, they're gone. What happened? How'd that happen? How come I didn't know about it? It's because people are deceptive and tricky and treacherous. And their girlfriend at work told them this and so on. Some guy in the locker room told them that. Oh, Peg, it isn't time to go. I'm just enjoying myself. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, mercy, power, to reveal his son in me. Did you know that's what God wants?
Amen.
He wants to reveal his son Jesus in you. That's all. You live not for yourself, just trust him for that, but you live to reveal Jesus to other people so they can tell. You're a Christian. You love Jesus. There's nothing else explains it. It's Jesus. To reveal his son in me, verse 16, that I might preach him among the heathen, the Gentiles, the bad people. Immediately, I confer not with flesh and blood. In other words, I didn't go to Peter and Paul and all those guys. I just simply immediately did what God said. Neither did I go up to Jerusalem to them that which were called apostles before me. But I went into Arabia. That is a bad place today, right? Well, it depends on whether you're Shia or Sunni. Are they on our side or the other guy's side or whatever? Well, right now, we call them on our side. But they're treacherous because they fund often. It's very hard to tell what governments are today because there's no government that's completely all one way. There are communists that are actually Christian secretly. There are Christian governments that are actually communists and so on and so forth. You can't figure out anybody's government. And because businessmen actually control the government. Did you know that? Money. Money is the whole issue. And you, if you get in close to the government, you can make a lot of money off of them. And you can make them your secret partner. And you don't have to do it directly, so it looks like a bribe. You can do it indirectly by giving a scholarship to their daughter or whatever. There are lots of ways to do it. Or a big project, give it to the brother-in-law, whatever. There's so many ways to cheat that you can't catch them. It's done all the time. Now it's become, you know, that there's hardly anybody that blows the whistle anymore because there's nobody righteous that cares. So I'd say the church failed. I say the church failed. The church failed. Right there. Because we should have people that go into business who do it the Jesus way, who go into politics the Jesus way. Then he returned to Damascus. That's where all the trouble is today. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and I stayed with him. I abode with him 15 days, a couple weeks. But other of the apostles saw I none except Jesus, James, the Lord's brother. This is how you find out that Jesus had a brother, which means Mary was not immaculate. She didn't stay a perpetual virgin, as the Catholic Church has taught. And here it says right clearly right there, he had brothers. Jude was a brother, and James was a brother, and so on. So he had different brothers, the brothers of the Lord. Now, the things which I write to you, behold, before God, I am not lying. Everything I'm telling you, I'm not lying. Afterward, I came into the regions of Syria, right where the problems are, and Cilicia in Latin, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. In other words, nobody in Israel knew me, and they wouldn't have liked me if they did, because they remembered my reputation, how I was killing Christians, how I was abusing anybody who had the name of Christ. Last verse, but they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which was once he had destroyed, and they glorified God in me. Now, only God can give you favor like that. I don't deserve any favor. I don't deserve anything good. I didn't come up in a good home. I had nothing going for me, zero. I don't feel sorry for anybody who's in bad shape. I'm sorry, because I grew up absolutely dirt poor. Had nothing going for me, and had too many fathers that I didn't even know about, and too many men coming and going, and my grandmother had four marriages, and the man she was living with, he was living out in a garage somewhere, and it was just chaos. But I didn't care. I was a little kid, just trying to survive and make sure we ate. It was World War II. Everything was rationed. It was just a tough time, and you lived off the dirt. You lived off the land. Everybody had a victory garden, and that's how you lived. So you didn't have to go to a store. You didn't have to buy stuff. Anyway, the butter was actually margarine and, all this kind of stuff. So it was good. But the little kids, they don't know anything. All I would do is climb up in the apple tree or the peach tree or the plum tree or steal my neighbor's cherries or whatever. I was just having a good time, because little kids, when they grow up in poverty like that, they don't know anything. They don't know that their clothes are old or torn or whatever. They don't care. If you go back and look at pictures in 1940 of first graders in the early 40s, and they're all disheveled. Nobody is neat looking. They all look like, they just got out of the coal mine or something. And that's the way we looked in those days, And everybody's just there. Nobody, but today they all dress up and look nice. But nobody looked nice in those days. It was hard. You see old movies, nobody looked nice, I'm telling you. And they were just rough-looking people. That's the same people as today, but somehow they didn't comb their hair, and they didn't care about all that stuff. Just disheveled. Because nobody had any money. I mean, there's only a handful of millionaires, and I think there are more billionaires today than we had millionaires then, but most people are just poor. They had nothing. And now they're in the middle of a war, and all kinds of bad things took place because of that. Society changed. Well, I hope you're blessed today.
Amen.
Why? Because supernaturally, God wants to love you and 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 you. He wants to have a personal relationship with you and then own you. I mean, he created you, but he wants you to voluntarily trust him. Believe his promises. There's only promises. There is no God with a law. Those laws were for Jesus. That is not God. That's God right there. The true understanding, construction, interpretation of God is only found by the promises, where he obligates himself and obliges himself forever and ever and ever to bless you only.
Amen.
No advantage to himself.
Amen.
Doesn't need you. He doesn't need to advantage you. He wants to. He just wants to. No explanation for it. Why? Why would God love sinners? What for? Why is his love not conditional? Why is it unconditional? Oh, that we had pastors like that. Oh, that we had businessmen like that. And oh, that we had Politicians like that, who have no agenda of their own. They're not cooking deals on the side. Today, everything in city government. Here in Dallas, I don't even need to go in and look at it. I can tell you without even looking. It's corrupted to the core. Not just South Dallas, but everywhere. Because people know how to buy and pay and purchase people. They know how to get in and do things like that. Okay, it's okay. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. But I don't think God likes it. And I think we ought to do something different about it. I would run for office if I wasn't already in an office that God wants me to stay in. I got the better office. I like my office. But the other office, I'm not afraid of it. I think I should be the emperor. because I don't want to take bribes. I don't need anything. I'm not asking anyone to do any favors for me or anything. I have a God, and I go to him for everything. Yes. Because he's the one that said he loves me, and he said he owns everything, and he says he is everything. And so that's all I need, Hugo. I don't need anything else. I hope you're all content in whatever state you are, whatever marital thing or whatever. Don't look for heaven on earth. It doesn't exist. Heaven on earth is a spiritual thing inside you. It's not an outward thing. Someday it'll be. But that's probably 10 years from now.
Amen.
Just thought I'd get you ready. Don't wait too long getting right with God. All right. God is great. God is good. I love you all.
Love you.